You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here on a Wednesday with Facts and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in with questions on the Adams Co. Roofing text line, our weekly Wednesday guest. And this should be a fun week for a plethora of reasons. John, you've got the floor.
Yes, we are pleased to be joined here in this segment, as we are this time every Wednesday, by former Clemson offensive lineman, now member of the William Byron Race team, Landon Walker. Landon, how you doing this morning?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this beautiful Wednesday morning here.
Thank you for taking the time. Before we get into reviewing what occurred on the field last Saturday and previewing what's going to come this Saturday in the Valley, you and I were talking before we got on air here, and you had the opportunity to listen to Coach Sweeney's press conference yesterday. And, you know, I just wanted to maybe give you the floor to maybe give your two cents on it and, you know, speak about your coach.
Yeah, man. So, obviously, you know, there's a lot of dismay amongst the Clemson fan base right now, and I think that some of it's, you know, warranted that they're disappointed, right? But at the same time, I don't want to reiterate too much of what Coach Sweeney had the opportunity to say. You know, I think that it's pretty obvious that they want to see the team get better, and rightfully so. They have seen a lot of success out of this team in the last 15 years. And, you know, I think they just want to see this team win games again. And obviously that's everybody's hope, right? That's everybody's hope at the end of the day, not to beat too much up on the fan base. But let's get to brass tacks here. Coach Sweeney has done more for this program than any coach, in my opinion, ever has. And his belief in this program, his belief in this system, his belief in his players are just, there's nothing like it. It's unmatched. And from day one, when he took over, my redshirt freshman year, you know, the man not only believed in the program, he believed in what his abilities to be able to hire coaches, to be able to put players in positions. And is that going to go perfectly well every single year? No, it's not. Obviously, we've seen that the rise of the program since back in 2009, and you know, there's been some hurdles along the way, and that's college football. Let's not forget it is hard to win games in college football. And, you know, going to a little bit talk about Georgia Tech, they didn't get a lot of respect, haven't got a lot of respect in the college football world over the years. And, man, they're a great football team. I think that was pretty obvious Saturday. But, you know, not to get too much on that game yet. But I just want to say that, you know, I feel like after all Coach Sweeney has done, let's let him deal with his problems that he has within the walls. I think that there's no other staff in this country that has the opportunity and ability to make this team, you know, be accountable and get the job done, and obviously fix some of these procedural mistakes that are not major mistakes we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about a team that has had a few issues, a few bumps in the roads, but it's execution. I think we can say that every player on the field has the opportunity. We have the opportunity to beat LSU, had the opportunity to beat Georgia Tech. A few execution mistakes gets this team to be a 3-0 record. Nobody wants to hear that, right? None of the fans want to hear we should be 3-0 by this play and this play, and I get it. But at the same time, you got to say that, hey, the players are capable, the coaches are capable. They can fix the execution mistakes. But again, you know, to Coach Sweeney, the guy has done a lot for the program, and he's going to do a lot more as he continues to grow with the program. And you're going to face some years that just don't go the way we wanted them to. But that's part of the game. It's part of the game. It's part of what you deal with. You put people in position, and maybe they don't get it done, and you just keep trying things, and you keep figuring it out, and you find out what your weak points are, and you fix them. And that's what you do as a college football coach. So, you know, I just feel like we would never want to see this program without Dabo Sweeney, and one day we will, and it's going to be a sad day. I really feel that way because nobody cares as much as that guy. Nobody puts as much work into this program as that guy. And Clemson without Coach Sweeney would be a dark period, in my opinion, until things would you know, go differently. But I just feel like he's always been the guy for the job. He's going to continue to be the guy for the job, and I think that Clemson fans are going to really see this program go turn around for the rest of the year and see what happens. But it's you know, it's interesting to hear all the comments.
Landon, now you played for Coach Sweeney, obviously before really a lot of the accolades and the resume drop that happened yesterday's press conference. But what is Coach like? You know, for fans at home, I hadn't had a chance to be around him a ton in a week like this when your back is against the wall, and it is a do or die spot because. You know, yes, you guys may not have had like all the accolades at that point in time, but you know, there were some real do or die spots in 08 and 09 and 10 and 11. Yep. Like, you know, what is Coach Sweeney like in a week like this?
He holds guys accountable. I mean, you're not going to be in the meeting room getting fluffed up and told you're great. I can tell you that. And it's not something that he does. You know, his persona with the media and being the man that he is, he's not going to throw his players under the bus. Okay, let's get that straight. We've known him for a long time. He's going to go into the media. He's going to tell you that the team can be better and we can be better and we're going to be better. And he tells you what he believes in. And, I mean, that's why he brings the sign believe to every meeting room and always has. The guy believes in the program. But to back to your point, yeah, it's dealing with the issues within the side of the building, right? Having those tough meetings that you're going to have with your individual position coaches and having those tough meetings for your coordinators, those aren't fun meetings to have when you're on the edge of, hey, a brink of we've got to get better. We've got to get better. Whether it's a guy we've got to replace or whether it's a guy that needs to step up, that is a very tough, difficult situation to be in as a player, as a coach. But he is very good at flipping that switch. You know, he's going to tell you got to be better and you got to be accountable as a player. And he's going to also tell you that he loves you and he's got your back as a family. There's no other coach in the country, in my opinion, that is like Dabo Sweeney. Nobody is going to love you as much as he is and put as much time in you as he is and also tell you that you're not playing good enough and still be there to love you. So I could tell you from firsthand experience that those guys understand what their mission is more than anybody can understand, and they understand what the coaching staff's expectations of the team is. And it's not there. They know that. But they're handling that within the walls like any team should, like any family should.
Landon, a couple questions for you. The first one would be, what was the biggest moment of adversity that you had in your playing days as a Clemson football player? Like, what would be a parallel to draw? Was there a specific loss? Was there a specific week? Was it a bye week?
Yeah.
What pops into your mind when I tell you adversity at Clemson?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, I could think of a few instances, but the first thing that comes to my mind is losing on the road as a senior at NC State. We came into that game 8-0. Playing very well.
Yeah.
Took a big loss to NC State on the road. It was a tough, tough loss for us. You know, we didn't show up. There's a million reasons why. We go on forever on that, but we didn't show up as a team. We didn't show up. We didn't play to the level we were capable of. We just got our tails beat, and that happens, right? I mean, it happens. Maybe you just feel like you had a better game plan and players, we didn't execute the game plan and everything. Like, we all took accountability for our actions. And, we knew that was going to be a threat to us, obviously, in finishing out our season. And also, we went on that year to win the ACC championship. So obviously, it was definitely a hurdle for us. But we were able to get over it and win the ACC championship. Obviously, didn't finish the year we wanted to there in the bowl game. Didn't quite get it done like we wanted to. But I tell you that game that we finished the year with in the Orange Bowl, that also propelled this team. You know, I think that people sometimes lose sight of that adversity makes teams better. And at the end of the day, a team that hasn't seen adversity, I would much rather be a team that's been on the side of seeing the worst case scenario and being able to get better from that than just getting peaches and rainbows and hugs all the time. I think there's a big difference. So I think that this team has seen it. They've seen what they can be when they execute, and they've seen what they're not going to be when they don't execute. So I really, I know I probably catch a lot of hate, but at the same time, it doesn't matter to me. I believe in this program. I always have. I believe in the man running the program. I believe in what they can do when things are going well. And it'll be fun to see all these fans turn around and love Dabo in a few weeks. I can tell you things will turn, and they will. They always do. And it's funny to see how the fan base reacts, but it will change.
And then, Landon, another one for you, if you don't mind, which would be effort level from this year's installment of Clemson football. What's your assessment through three games thus far as just kind of the energy and the body language goes? I feel like that's been a gripe of the fan base. There's been a lot of gripe of the fan bases. I agree with some gripes. I disagree with some gripes. I think the energy and effort level on a consistent down-to-down basis does need to be improved. Do you agree with that assessment, or do you think I'm missing something?
No, I think that there's definitely some improvement that can be made with some effort. I think, like I said, it goes back to me, though, to be to executing. You know, when you execute at a high level, effort's there. Everything kind of comes together with execution. So I think that, you know, obviously feel like, you know, this team needed a little kick in the tail. They got it. And I think that they're probably getting it as we speak. So I think that that's just part of the game. You know, finding out where you're – I mean, I remember specifically when Coach Sweeney took over, man, the first thing we watched on film was our effort. We didn't watch the way the play went. We didn't watch, you know, what the play was supposed to be, how my blocking assignment went. He literally took a pin and would point out guys loafing on the field, as we called it, or jogging on the field and not running to the ball, offensive lineman not helping their quarterback up when he fell down, things like that. And, you know, that is the way you find accountability in a room, and that's what they're doing, I'm sure, that they're figuring out who their war dogs are, who they're going to go to war with, who's going to be the guys that are fight or flight, who's really all in that program. And you know, you're finding out about who's all in outside of the program. That's pretty easy to see. But, again, you're finding out who the people are that you want to play with. And sometimes it takes a few games to find that out, and I'm sure they're doing that now. But, again, everything can be improved. Effort, of course, a little bit of accountability, that goes a long way. But I think there's no better people that are for the job than what's inside that room. Coach Sweeney is going to find the right people to get the job done. That's for sure.
Landon, we only got a couple minutes left here with you.
Yeah.
Moving forward into this weekend against Syracuse, what are some things that you saw against Georgia Tech that you want to see Clemson continue to build on? Like, for example, here, I thought there was more of a commitment to the run game, albeit maybe would like the running back to out-carry the quarterback. But yeah. I thought there was a really strong commitment to the run game. And, you know, I felt like the offensive line, you know, we want to praise and criticize fairly. Were they the best they could have been? No, but you didn't have up any negative plays.
Yeah, agreed. I think, John, to your point, maybe one of the better offensive performances of the year. Now, does that say they're at their peak? Absolutely not. There's a lot to improve on in that room, just from an offensive line standpoint, from making sure that we're getting drive blocks down the field, getting the run game going a little bit better, Cade executing plays, you know, not having some situations that happened during the Georgia Tech game where it seemed like things were just a little off in the backfield. And those are, like I said, we talked about this before, those are things that are going to happen. Not, you know, unfortunately, they happen on the first road game. Now, you know, can those things be cleaned up? Absolutely. Does that mean Cade needs to be fired as the starting quarterback? Absolutely not. We've seen this guy at his best, and I think that, you know, anybody in the program can vouch for this guy, that he's got what it takes. He has the tools. We haven't seen him play the same level yet we saw last year, but I think we're going to see that. This is a guy who really seems to do well under the gun, if you will. He seems to do well when that pressure really hits him. Didn't start out the year quite like everybody thought he would, but that's okay. That's what we all thought. It's not what was really going on. So I think he just needs to put what's going on in practice, what's going on in the scrimmages, on the field, and I think he will. It's a mental hurdle. You have to get over that mental hurdle in your mind. You have to get over that. As an offense, it's all mental. I mean, let's get it straight. You know, at the end of the day, you have to out-physical a team, but it's all in your head. As soon as you figure out, hey, we can be this good, you're going to see it on tape. You're eventually going to see it on the field on Saturday. So, you know, I know we're cutting time short here, but I do want to say that I feel confident this team has the ability. They have the core ability. They have the core foundation that Coach Sweeney has built in the culture. Unlike any other program in the country, we have what no one else has, and that's culture. And you can't buy that. Cannot buy that with NIL money. You can't get it with a transfer portal. They have that. So let's see what this team does. Give them a chance, you know. Give them a chance to see what they do.
Landon, final question for you before we let you get out of here. I do want to talk about the quarterback and something you mentioned, because I think that everybody amongst the fan base, their most popular player on the roster is the backup quarterback. They think that benching the quarterback is going to solve all of your issues. Can you take us into a look from a former player perspective inside the locker room? How do the inner workings and the dynamic kind of function within the locker room when you do bench a quarterback, or when your quarterback is struggling and needs more confidence? How can they kind of rally around Cade Klubnik at a time like this and uplift him to give him some more confidence in his play? And if, hypothetically speaking, a benching were to transpire, what does the collateral kind of look like from the top down in the locker room as a result of that?
Well, you hope that doesn't happen. You know, you hope it doesn't get to that point. Absolutely. I know you're not saying that's going to happen, but that's the hope within the team. You want to see your guy that you believe in, you put at the QB1 position, do well, and go forward as the guy. But, you know, I think all right now, all this team is focused on is getting first downs and making drives down the field and getting touchdowns. I don't think they like to think about even a potential change at that position, because we all know, we all have seen that change happen and it not go well. We've seen it go well. So that's not always a guarantee, right? There's just like firing a coach is not the first, you know, knee-jerk action, you know, reaction that we should be making. It's let the team figure out how to be better. That's what they're supposed to do. It's college football. Let them figure out the problems. We don't know what's going on within the building all the time. So again, unfortunately, when a change does happen, the team would rally around that. But I don't see that that's going to happen. I think that this team has the quarterback they need. I feel confident that Kay can get the job done. We've seen him get the job done. I think, you know, we've a little bit of a rocky start. That doesn't mean it's time to just, you know, sell the ship down the river and forget about it. I think it's time to put all hands on deck, and I think this is what this team's doing. Defensively, offensively, I think he has no more support than he does within that building, and that's obvious right now. But I think he has the full support of that team and that staff, and they know what this kid's capable of.
Landon, final question for you here before we let you run. Do the Tigers get it done on Saturday against Syracuse and Death Valley?
Yes, sir.
I love the quick answer. You don't even let me finish the question. I love that.
Listen, John, I knew you were going. I feel good about this Clemson team. I have from the start. Now, does it mean I predicted them to win every time and they haven't? Yeah, of course. But let's get down to they really have what it takes. We've said it on this show plenty of times. Syracuse at home in the Valley. This is the time the Tigers are going to show everybody what this team's really made of. I think we're going to see some sparks out of this offense like we want. I think that this team is driven, and it's time for them to really break out of offense, break out of all this negativity that is surrounding it, which is ridiculous. But I think that it's time for the Tigers to really show what they're made of against the Syracuse this weekend.
Awesome. Well, Landon, appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to breaking things down with you next Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Landon still got eligibility? I'm asking for a friend.
He does not.
Okay.
He does not. We have tried to. I've looked into that.
We can't get him a voodoo COVID year. They're giving him out to anybody
No,
nowadays.
We cannot, and I do believe that Hendrick Motorsports would be very much against that.
Really? I don't get some NIL? I don't know. In all seriousness, though, we appreciate Landon joining the program. A couple texters are getting in on Syracuse. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to take Noah and Spartanburg's phone call. We're also going to branch out more general college football, more general NFL talk throughout the course of the program. Almost at NHL. Not even in season.
If y'all want to talk hockey, we can. We'll try. We'll make our best effort at it.
They might run us off the airwaves if we started trying to talk hockey right now in the middle of college football season. 654-ROAR is the number. Quick break.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. At Ingles, we know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature, memorable moments with than family. Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy, and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
Power up your lunch, dinner, or football party with a visit to Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits. From their crazy good deep-fried ribs to their award-winning smoked Reuben sandwich to the best wings in the upstate for over 30 years. Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits has the winning team for game day or any day. Open Monday through Saturday with live music, karaoke, and more. 11028 Anderson Road in Powdersville and 1083 South Batesville Road in Greer. Kickoff in style with Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with 3 locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers! Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersLeep.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co-Roofing text lines are open. A lot of text to get to on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. Texters get in. Do you think that the Clemson fans are upset with the quality of wins against upper echelon opponents, not against Syracuse, Duke, NC State, etc.? Seem to be struggling the last 5 years against quality programs. Yeah, from an objective standpoint, your analysis is correct, 541. And yes, I think that stems part of the frustration. I mean, again, we're honest on the show. I want the team to win. I'm open about that. Team hasn't won a playoff game since December of 2019, if I'm not mistaken. It's the last college football playoff win for Clemson football. So yeah, the fans should be frustrated. You should want to go to the playoff. You should want to win playoff games. You should want to win national championships. And when that's not happening, you know, there needs to be accountability. And I think that's the primary thing of where I differ with the fan base, in all honesty, when it relates to the frustrations with Dabo Swinney and why I'm not personally anywhere near as frustrated as majority of fans, is because I know what the accountability structure looks like in the building, and I know that Dabo Swinney is holding himself and others accountable. Like, I know that for a fact. That's a big word that everybody's using, is accountability. Well, I just want to feel accountability in the press conferences. even if you're not getting the direct confirmation that you want for whatever your version and perspective of accountability is with the press conference when we get him once a week or twice a week, whatever it may be, I promise you that the accountability in the building is being taken care of. And I promise you, also, nobody wants to win more than Dabo Swinney. You think Dabo Swinney wants to get up in front of the microphone and be criticized at 1-2 after having the most hype that his team's had in almost a decade in this town? This is a two-time national championship head coach. He knows what it's like to win the national championship. He's done it twice. He knows what it's like to be on the mountaintop. He knows. He knows that Clemson's not on the mountaintop. He knows that there is work to do to get back to the level that you want to be at. And I get that people are upset with the messaging and the press conference. I guarantee you right now that nobody on planet Earth wants to win more than the head ball coach that's being compensated mightily to do such and whose job's on the line each and every time he takes the sidelines. Because that's the reality. People don't realize how unique Dabo is. Coaches are hired to be fired. That is the entire premises of the profession. You are hired to be fired. And Dabo is one of one with longevity, success, etc. So, again, do I love the demeanor in the press conferences? Do I agree with every word that's coming out of his mouth? Am I saying that the fans aren't entitled to be frustrated? No, I'm not. But we also need to take a step back and realize, do we really think that Dabo Swinney just doesn't want to win? Like, do we think he's doing this on purpose and is just, like, digging under the skin of the fans on purpose? He wants to win, man. And I'm not saying it doesn't need to get fixed and steps don't need to be taken to get those fixes. But at some point, like, we just got to be realistic about where Coach Swinney and his mind are at. And I promise he wants to win. John, your thoughts before we take Noah's phone call?
I know he wants to win.
Yeah.
Let's take Noah's phone call.
Yeah.
I'm about out of takes on a press conference.
Same here. Let's get Noah in here. 654 Roar. Noah, good to hear your voice, man. How we doing?
Great. How are y'all doing today? I feel like it's been a lot of negativity this show, unfortunately. So I'm going to come with some positivity.
I love that, Noah. Let's flip it around. We're at the midway point. Let's flip it around, man. Let's have a great last hour and a half.
We've only been so bad. What's stopping us from getting better? That's my thought process. You know what
I'm saying?
And I just want to remind everybody, a month and a half ago, we were all calling for Cade to win the Heisman. And we were all calling in saying, let's put our tickets on it now. We're going to have the first Clemson Heisman Trophy winner. So let's all take a deep breath and let's reevaluate. We're good. You know what I mean? We lost one ACC game.
Fat lady's not singing yet.
No, not at all. I ain't heard no bell. That's what I like to say. Bell is not rung. We're not dead. I'm going to get off college football. You know I like to talk NFL. Panthers are about an offensive line away from being decent, I fear. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The problem is none of them are available.
I watched pretty much the entirety of this game. Bryce is frustrating me from one perspective. Bryce is two bad decisions away per game from being a good quarterback. And I know how stupid that sounds to say out loud, but you look at it like 35 for 55, 328 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception. Some of the throws he made on tape, I'm not sure how many people in the league can make. That's how some of the eye-popping throws he was making were. The issue is he donated 10 points to the Arizona Cardinals Foundation at the beginning of the game with turnovers. He's got to cut out the turnovers.
The first two series. Didn't help his reputation at all. And that's his issue, I feel like. He
was elite after that.
One or two series a game where he looked awful.
Yep.
And whether it be protection or just bad decision, he comes out slow, looks awful. And the rest of the game, he locks in. But unfortunately, most of the time when he locks in, it's in garbage time when their defense has already given up 30. You know what I mean? So it's kind of unfortunate situation. But I thought he looked decent. I mean, I called in Monday last week saying how bad he looked the week before. I mean, I watched the whole game just like you did, obviously, and he had Josh Sweat in his face all game. He had Bear Brown in his face all game. I mean,
it's bad, man.
It's tall ass. Yeah, it's tough ass to win games when you're getting pressured literally every single play. So, Panthers fans, don't give up hope. Let's just pray y'all go. Pepper put some money into the offensive line, and we got to get rid of Leggett. You got to get rid of Leggett.
He's the worst player in the NFL. Yeah, Xavier Leggett's the worst player in the NFL. I said this in the preseason, and I had a couple Gamecock fans chirp me, and they were like, oh, you just hate South Carolina. No, a couple of my favorite players in the entire league play at South Carolina. Xavier Leggett sucks at football, and I would have been more productive than him this last weekend. If you don't believe me, I didn't have negative yards in an NFL game on 8 targets, and Xavier Leggett did. So I outgained him this weekend on 8 less targets.
Second time only in NFL history that's ever happened.
He needs
the,
to be cut.
The previous time was from a running back.
Yes.
Catching balls out the backfield, so let's keep that in mind. Yeah, they let his accent, they let his funny accent distract him from the fact he can't play football.
Hey,
so shame on the Panthers.
Noah, but can we talk about Hunter? Can we talk about Hunter Renfrow before we let you go, brother? I mean, two touchdowns for Hunter Renfrow.
I said it when I called in. I said our defense, we like to get nickeled and dime, and you should look for the tight end or Renfrow to have a big game. And
14 catches between the tight end and Renfrow, man. That's why we bring you in, Noah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I appreciate y'all as always. I'm going to catch the rest off the air. Y'all have a great one. Just figured I'd come in with a little bit better mindset than what we've been listening to.
Of course. Hey, I appreciate you, Noah. Thanks for checking in. 654 Roar. And yeah, we can shift gears to some NFL, talk NFL for the rest of the hour here on the program because it was a great weekend. I loved watching NFL on Sunday. I had a blast. Cardinals got it 27-22. The Panthers tried to pull a crazy drunk comeback with an onside kick, and Bryce turned into, he went God mode in the last couple drives of the game, and he was really slinging the ball all over the field. I think Tet McMillan's legit. The offensive line is down three starters 2 weeks into the season. He's down his wide receiver two in Coker, and Coker's replacement in Leggett, again, not an exaggeration to say he's the worst player in football. There would be data to accompany that at that point this far. But I really like the way that Bryce did not let the first two drives of his game put him into meltdown mode. Because in his rookie year and at points in time early in the season last year before the car crash to Dalton, we saw Bryce have these early turnovers and then the rest of the game was a complete wash. I was pretty proud of him for just flushing it to the side and saying, you know what, we're going back to the drawing board. Yeah, there's going to be Josh Sweat and a couple defensive tackles in my face the whole game. Don't care. We're not giving up until the final whistle blows. And you know what? Yeah, it's a loss for the Carolina Panthers. And the football team does not look good thus far. And they've got issues defensively. And they've got really crucial injuries on both sides of the ball. But I saw progression from Bryce Young this week. And I think that's a positive to take away from all Panthers fans. And also, it appears you have a legit NFL wide receiver one in Tet. He's unbelievable, and he's looked great so far. So that's where I'm at on Carolina. Definitely a bigger work in progress than I anticipated in the preseason. And I'm hoping they can just keep Bryce upright, because when he's clean, he's pretty darn good, John. You just got to keep him clean.
And so now we get the test. Is the Falcons pass rush the best in football, or
or were they just playing the Vikings?
Exactly.
Yes. And I'm
talk about it. We're going to have a meltdown mode Monday morning with this Falcons-Panthers game. I think you want to talk about overreacting to very early data sets in football. This game's going to provide it here locally.
Yeah, I agree. 654 Roar, if you want to get in. We had a couple texts in the early segment about the Falcons, and we'll take a time now. I want to say a couple things. Number one, I would go as far as saying that there are not five teams in this league that are worse coached top to bottom than the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that that is my ultimate main hesitation with this football team and backing this football team. When I look at the roster, I really believe in Penix Jr. as the franchise quarterback, provided he can stay healthy. I think he can make all the throws within the pocket. Bijan Robinson, unbelievable. Has an argument for the best back in football. Probably is the best back in football, not named Saquon Barkley. You got Tyler Algier. Very good 1-2 punch, complimentary back that can bring you a little bit more of a power and a bruiser look on the goal line. And then you look at the receivers and the weapons. Drake London, I think he's a top 10 receiver in this league when he's healthy. Kyle Pitts, he's started to have an uptick in production for the first time in his career. Darnell Mooney, he's a field stretcher. Ray McLeod, really good guy in the slot. And then you look at on defense, and these four rookies are playing their tails off early into the season. But here's the fatal flaw for me with Atlanta. I think their head coach sucks at his job. I don't think Raheem Morris is a good head coach in this league. I think Zach Robinson is arguably the worst offensive coordinator in the entire league in Atlanta. And I have to hear from Falcons fans all the time as a Georgia native. A bunch of my childhood friends are Falcons fans, so all the games, like I'm sure y'all have group chats, all the games that the Falcons play were popping off in the group chat. If I had just a dollar for every time there was Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson slander I have seen from a Falcons fan friend of mine, I'd be a very, very rich man, and we would be living very, very wealthily right now, John, because that's my primary crux with backing this football team. I can buy into the fact that these rookies are going to pop. I think the defense could be a little bit better than anticipated. I think a larger part than what Falcons fans would want to admit of what we saw on Sunday night, is that J.J. McCarthy stinks at football and is nowhere near ready to play quarterback, and you got lit up by the Bucs the week before, so let's pump the brakes on the defense talk. That's kind of where I'm at on the Atlanta Falcons.
I think through 2 weeks, I feel very good about my take of the predicted order of finish in the NFC South of Buccaneers, Falcons, then Panthers, then Saints. I feel very good about that. Feeling very good. I think there is the pecking order within that division through 2 weeks has kind of shown itself. Because I think giving Baker Mayfield and Mecca Bukas was silly. That was silly for the NFL to allow that.
Yeah.
They have way too many weapons in Tampa.
They're really good. The Bucs do appear that they've got a really quality team. And the fact that, man, the Texans, speaking of poorly coached, D'Amico Ryans and the offensive coordinator, for the life of me, John, you're second in goal from the one. They went shotgun run, fade. They rolled Stroud out to the left out of shotgun again. They were second in goal from the 6-inch line and lined up in shotgun on three consecutive plays. Like, I thought my brain was going to explode in my living room on Monday night.
You can answer this in 30 seconds when we go to break. Were we wrong about CJ Stroud?
I am going to say no. And I think that CJ Stroud, okay, a couple things here. I don't think CJ Stroud is a transcendent quarterback. I think he is good, not great, and I think that that's okay. I also don't think he's being given literally any favors with play calling and offensive line play in front of him. Like, we want to talk about Bryce had guys in his face. Stroud had guys in his face pretty much the whole night as well.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that trading away your left tackle would not be in the betterment of your offensive line.
I didn't really understand that decision, and weirdly enough, like, as we look further and further back, the best supporting cast CJ Stroud has had thus far was as a rookie. And that directly coincides with the best statistical season he's had as well. So I think CJ Stroud fans are starting to empathize with Bryce Young fans a little bit. And they're like, oh, this is what it feels like to have literally no one around me for the first time in my career.
They're also starting to sympathize with Trevor Lawrence fans because Christian Kirk is not available for this Texans team.
Yep, he's pulling the hamstring injury gimmick elsewhere now, which, thank you. Glad that's out of Jacksonville. We're going to take a quick break on the program. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. Allen's on the phone lines. He wants to talk Clemson recruiting, it appears. We'll hit that, and then we'll get back to the National Football League up next.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Fax and Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
It's game time at Linden Floors. Huddle up and score big with unbeatable deals like luxury vinyl flooring starting at just $1.99 a square foot. That's right. Style, durability, and value, all in one winning play. We're family-owned, Spartanburg strong, and ready to tackle your remodel. Swing by 101 Chester Street or call 864-494-4317 to get in the game, or visit us online at lindenfloors.com and make your home the MVP this season. Linden Floors, where design scores every time.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Hey, y'all. Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, located inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square. Whether you're looking for funny socks, funky socks, practical socks, or nostalgic socks, we've got you covered. We're a family-owned small business and are sure to carry a sock that will make you and your feet smile. Shop with us Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays until 4 inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square, where it's always buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
Homeowners and landscapers, a fescue lawn with a guarantee is finally here from topdressing.com. You want a dark green, lush, healthy fescue lawn that's the best in the neighborhood? Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com to get the best compost fescue top dressing from your friends at topdressing.com. It's that simple. It's guaranteed. Just call 888-850-1850 and place your order to have a magnificent, beautiful fescue lawn you'll enjoy all year long. Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones, like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. We had a text in the previous segment, too, said, don't forget about Derrick Henry from the Ravens. He's one of the best backs in the NFL. Of course, can't forget about King Henry.
Where was that last week, Derrick?
Yeah. Did you? You needed those fantasy points?
Very badly, yes.
That's for sure. On Henry, too, before we take Jason and Columbia's phone call, then we're going to take Allen and Anderson. Henry's like rapidly approaching one of the greatest running backs to ever play this game status. Ooh. With the longevity that he's displayed, just because we don't really see, like, in an era of football where we haven't seen hardly any running back longevity in the last decade, Derrick Henry is kind of the guy that's defied that logic, if that makes sense.
He certainly has. In terms of, like, greatest of all time, man...
He's not the greatest. Like, he's not the greatest.
There are some, you know, but he's, some Gale Sayers, some Barry Sanders, some Walter Payton defenders out there who would like to have a word. But I do think that the resume is...
It's stacking.
The longer it goes, yes, the better it gets for Derrick Henry, absolutely.
This is year 10. He's currently sitting at 11,600 yards, his 17-game average. And mind you, he didn't even start his first 2 years in Tennessee as a rookie. 17-game average for Derrick Henry's career, including 2 years in which he didn't start. 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, and over 85 yards a game. That's pretty darn good, man.
That's a very large gold jacket for the man.
Oh, of course.
I'm just...
Yeah, no. Emmitt Smith, Gale Sayers, there's a long list of guys,
yeah.
Of course.
Which that would be a great June radio topic. Of where we'll would you where would you I'll make a note of that where would you where rank, would you rank Derrick Henry all time?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's put that in the bank for later. Also, another thing, before we take Jason, just one final comment on Derrick Henry. I think his longevity is even more impressive to me with the amount of just sheer terror his body takes on a game to get. Like, people are at his knees. People are swarming him. They're hitting him after the play. Like, he takes a freaking beating, man.
And the good Lord don't make many running backs that are built like that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's get Jason of Columbia in here, and then we're going to Allen. Jason, good to hear from you. How we doing, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, you know what? You know what's crazy about Derrick Henry, too? You know, obviously, as Clemson fans, we're still bitter that Deshaun never won a Heisman. And now you look at the two people he lost the Heisman to, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. It's pretty crazy what those guys have gone on to do with their careers in the NFL. So if you got to lose a Heisman to someone, I guess, you know, might as well beat a couple of slam dunk Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. And yeah, I'll forever be a little bit frustrated that Thor never got a Heisman. And for the life of me, I guess it was he just threw too many interceptions, or he didn't have the narratives, or the media wasn't with him. I think he had a valid argument both times on the podium, but he just got picked over twice. And I mean, it's hard to argue against the greats that he lost to, as you alluded to, Jason. I mean, it's not like he lost to Beavis and Butthead on the stand, right? He lost to two Hall of Famers in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, exactly. And I think even one of those other races, you know, Christian McCaffrey was like one of the finalists as well. So, man, that's a strong Heisman field, bud, when you got Deshaun, Christian, and either Deshaun or Derek, I forget which year it was. That's strong. That's about as strong as it gets for a Heisman field. Actually, I'm going to switch it up a little bit just on my Clemson take. One thing that I kind of took as a positive yesterday is, you know, Dabo saying, "Hey man, I'm not going to the beach. I'm 55. I'm going to keep coaching." And the reason I take that as a positive is because, you know, we have, as frustrated as everybody is right now, and I'm frustrated and all that, but we have seen Dabo make changes in some of his approaches that we've been calling for in recent years. And so it just, to me, I took that as a sign of somebody that still got a lot of fire, that wants to win. You know, in coaching terms, he's still a young man. I mean, this isn't Bobby Bowden, you know, coasting at 75 with his son as the offensive coordinator, right? Yeah. I mean, he is, he's still got plenty of time, man, to make a, you know, multiple deep runs over the course of his career. So I certainly hope that will come to fruition. But it's just something that, you know, he definitely doesn't strike me as one of those dudes that wants to go quietly into the night, man. He's still got the fire. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we will see that manifest throughout the course of this season and then also beyond.
I know Sweeney's got the fire, man. I'll go suit up for Dabo Sweeney and play for him right now if he gave me the opportunity. I'm all in with Dabo, always have been, always will be. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says, everything he does, but yeah, you're 100% on the money, Jason. He's still got the fire, he's still got the juice, he's still got the swagger. There's no doubt in my mind that that's applicable, but I do get some of the frustration from the fan base, but that's our guy, man. That's our guy. You look across the athletic department, and zero things would be possible as far as Little John Coliseum renovations, Jervie renovations, all these great things, softball, and the inauguration of that program, gymnastics. It all wraps back to Dabo Sweeney winning national championships. It all wraps back to Dabo Sweeney putting this institution on the map on a national scale, and it's a direct correlation when you look at the level of applicants and amount of applicants to the university and when Clemson won their first national championship. And ever since then, all of the infrastructure on campus has been elevated. All of the facilities on campus have been elevated. He's the guy, and he will forever be the guy. But, you know, a couple minor changes here or there might benefit with a couple more wins, and I think that's where fans are kind of interjecting right now.
Yeah, and I saw an interesting clip from Dion, you know, Coach Prime, saying either yesterday or day before yesterday that he loves Dabo and thinks he's one of the legends, and that, you know, he said, hey, Dabo's sitting there at 1-2, and he's a coach that says we're going to turn it around and we've done it before, and he just talked about how much respect he had for Dabo, and I thought back to this summer, I think it was Ryan Day of all people. You never would have expected Ryan Day. You know, someone asked him, where would you? I think Joel Klatt maybe asked him, where would you send your son to play, and he said Dabo Sweeney. I mean, he literally called out Dabo first for the guy that he would want coaching his son. So I thought that was interesting. But, we just need a W. We need a win so badly and just need to get in some kind of rhythm, man.
When you
so,
see the ball go through the hoop.
You know, hey, yeah, exactly. Hey, man, you know, one of these times Eric McClain and Landon Walker are going to be right when they call for a Clemson victory.
Man, we need it.
One of these times they're going to be right. So
we need it bad.
But What were your initial thoughts on the Carolina game from this weekend?
Yeah, I listen. South Carolina kind of is who I anticipated them to be in the preseason, and I had them at 7-5. And looking at them right now, I might have been a little bit too high on South Carolina with the Sellers injury. And again, like the hesitations that I expressed with this team in the preseason were: your play caller and your quarterback have not proven that they've been on the same page, and your running back staple has been, you know, cut off from the top down with Rocket Sanders' departure. Wide receivers, your best one's a track star that doesn't like getting hit in pads. And again, like, I hope Lenora Sellers is healthy, because this is going to get really, really ugly really, really fast in Columbia if he's not, with Luke Doty as your starting quarterback for a five-game stretch at LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, at Ole Miss, at A&M. You better hope Lenora Sellers is healthy, and I'm hoping it, because guess what? I freaking miss watching the kid play. I wanted him to play all four quarters against Vanderbilt. That kid's amazing to watch, and he's running all over the place, and he's throwing guys off of him, and he's stiff-arming defenders into the dirt, and nobody deserves to watch Luke Doty play football for their favorite team at quarterback. So I just hope Lenora's can get back for this weekend. I am a big Missouri fan, but I don't want a cheap win for Missouri. I've kind of adopted them as my SEC team to root for this year with Bo Pribula as my guy, and I hope Sellers plays, because if not, I think it's going to be B to A in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, Drinkwitz, what he does out there with his offense, and it looks like, you know, it's early in the season, but it seems like they've got a pretty strong defense again this year too. But I have a lot of respect for how Drinkwitz dials it up. And obviously, going back to his days at App State, he has a history of beating South Carolina. I know they got the win last year. But yeah, and you know, and we've said, look, it's early. Obviously, everybody points back to their season last year where they were able to rebound. But, you know, they rebounded with, by what their standards, was a generational defense. I mean, we talked all offseason. They don't have that this year. Not that their defenses look terrible by any means, but it's, no matter what happened, that defense could not be the same as it was last year based on the amount of cultivated talent that they lost. So their season, they still got a long runway to go. Like you said, Sellers, I mean, it's like if he can't go, I mean, he's pretty close to a one-man band, which is so funny because it's part of the reason we had such high expectations for Clemson, because Cade was not a one-man band. We had the supporting cast, and quite frankly, I think Adam Randall has looked pretty good, actually. And God, he plays hard and with toughness. But, you know, down in Columbia right now, Sellers is a one-man band. And one of the things I threw out was all offseason, I said, on a yearly basis, their offensive line is a question, and they had to replace all three interior starters. And now their right tackle is injured. We don't know his status yet. So Sellers, I think he leads the SEC in sacks taken right now. I mean, he's, you know, going to be running for his life to a certain extent. I certainly do hope he's healthy. You know, I did see something saying that concussion protocols in the SEC are supposed to be seven-day periods. So, I mean, he's going to be right up against it by the time they touch down in Como.
Yeah, I'm really, 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 really worried about the future outlook for South Carolina, both in the short and the long term, as far as what is the offensive identity of this program going to look like going forward if Air Noland, who you paid almost seven figures to come to your program, cannot beat out Luke Doty for the backup quarterback job. Like, I'm thinking about life after Sellers at this point, because to be frank, I think the season's over in Columbia. As far as college football playoff, SEC championship game, you can chuck that out the window. It's over. Their season's over. They have nothing to play for as far as postseason aspirations go. And if I end up with the worst radio clip in the history of life getting dunked on by 11-1 South Carolina, I'll fully put my neck out there with this. I think they're losing five games minimum with the current roster and outlook and situation, and I just don't see how they're going to get through this gauntlet of a schedule, especially with a dinged up quarterback. And at some point in time as well, you have to start questioning what, like, the buy-in factor looks like in Columbia as well.
Yeah, I mean, this game for them is just so huge, because like you said, the notion going into the season was that the CFP was definitely in play, and if you come out of September basically, you know, you're whatever, 2-2, and that's with the meat of your schedule still to come. They've got a pretty vicious looking back end. It's hard to envision any of their higher end goals being achieved. And look, as Clemson fans, we can, you know, we can't throw too many stones, obviously, at this point either. But this is a huge fulcrum point for the season out there in Como.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jason, we appreciate you checking in. We're at the top of the hour, brother. Thanks for getting in.
Yep, talk to you later, guys.
Of course. We're going to get Alan from Anderson. Sorry I made you wait, Alan. We can get you on the first thing on the other side of this quick break here at the top of the hour. And it looks like he wants to talk some Clemson recruiting, so that's my bad, Alan. We ran a little bit long with Jason. We can get you in on the other side. We'll talk some Clemson football. We'll branch out into some more general college football and NFL in hour number three. And, John, I do want to talk about Jason's 49ers at some point, because did you see what Money Mac Jones did this weekend? 279 yards, 3 touchdowns. Come on. I know it's the Saints, but we got to show some love to Mac Jones. Mac Jones and Spencer Rattler was one of the best offensive showings in this league this past Sunday. We got to break that down at some point. Quick break here on the program. Final hour on a Wednesday up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560.